I'm going to be in Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and the title of my message today is Just Accept It. Just accept it. Do you hear the tone that I say that in? Just accept it. The tone is important because it's really about you talking to yourself today and understanding how we receive from the Lord. Because whether you know it or not, it's real easy to get off track. And when we get off track in our attitude, we can limit what God gives us and what God does for us in our lives. When our attitude gets off, we get messed up. And this is what happened to the Galatians. This is why Paul is addressing them in chapter 3. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Now, let me just unpack this scripture here for a moment. Paul is saying to them, you received Christ by faith. You did not receive Christ because you did works and earned it. But now after you've received Christ, we find you trying to receive things from the Lord by earning it. You have decided that you started out right, but now you want to earn or deserve what God gives you. And Paul is telling them, God gives you nothing because you earn it. You will receive nothing from the Lord because you deserve it. Everything God gives you is a gift given to you. Amen. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I have not been very good this week. Diane asks me every week if I'm being haved, and I tell her no, but sometimes that's just kidding around. But this week, I have not been on my best. Have you ever had a week like that or a day like that where you're just not your best self? It's funny how we measure ourselves. We keep score of ourselves, how we're doing, whether we had a good day or whether we're loving or kind or whether we did a lot of work this week or whether we helped a lot of people. We're constantly scoring ourselves. We got this little scorecard in our hearts and we're keeping track and we don't realize it, but we allow ourselves to receive things based on how we're doing. And that's never how God gives things to his people. Come on. And it's understandable because in this life, keeping score is kind of everywhere. I mean, you measure yourself on the job, at school. I mean, everywhere you go, you've got a record. School gives you a test. You got a credit score. You measure your wealth against the people you run around with. I mean, success. I mean, everything. I mean, even your weight has a number, doesn't it? Why did they do that? Why did they invent a number or for your weight? And why do they have sizes of, I guess it's necessary, but I mean like the sizing in your clothes, you know, and you go from a medium to a large. And I was a medium for years, and then I went to a large. And I told Kathy the other day, it's like whenever we're at the grocery store, I think of eating. And wherever we're buying clothes, I think of dieting. Is anybody else like that? Yes. It's like they don't fit, and I'm on a diet. I'm not going to eat so much. Then when I get to the store, it's a different story because the scorecard keeps telling me how I'm doing. It keeps telling me what I'm about. And so it's easy to understand. Everything in life seems to be about the scorecard. But let me tell you something. That's a big problem for the child of God because God doesn't do things by the scorecard. If we're not careful, we'll be like the Galatians. We'll start out receiving Jesus by faith as a gift, but then we start trying to live by the scorecard, trying to earn it, trying to deserve what God does in our life. Usually the scorecard says this. It says, I can't do that because I haven't earned it yet. I can't have that because I haven't worked for it yet. There are others who are better than me, more deserving than me. Ultimately, I don't deserve it. So what do we do when we feel that way? And I'm going to hit some of you right between the eyes. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. When we feel like we don't deserve it and we haven't earned it, what do? We work harder. We do more stuff. We try to give more. We try to push ourselves. We try to make ourselves be kind. Or maybe we get more education. Like maybe if I get a degree, I can run with the people who are college graduates and I'll feel like I've earned it. Or we try to climb the social ladder and meet new people who have more money or more status, and maybe that will make us feel like we deserve it or earn it. Or here's where most of us lie. We try to do good or be good. We think that by doing good or by being good, by helping other people, by doing things, we're going to position ourselves at some point where on the inside of our hearts we say, you know what, I deserve this. I have earned this. But I want you to understand, child of God, that none of these things are bad in and of themselves, but they will never place you in a position where you deserve what God wants to give you. He will give you position that you don't deserve. He will give you provision that you don't deserve. He will give you promises that you don't deserve. He will give you blessings that you don't deserve. Because it's not based upon what you've earned. It's based upon who He is. Come on, somebody. Are you with me today? I'm thankful for the grace of God. You see, grace is what God does, not what you do. Grace is what God does. It's been said before, rightfully, that grace is unearned and undeserved favor. That means God favors you even though you don't deserve it and you haven't earned it. Why would God give us what we haven't earned or what we don't deserve? And I'm going to tell you why by reading the story of the prodigal son here. I like this story so much. You know that because I preach out of it a lot. But let me read it to you. It says, and he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. You know, you don't have to be a party-hardy or a crazy person to live loose, do you? Sometimes Christians live loose with our money and with our time and with our mouths and with our hearts. We live loose. Come on. Come on. And he wasted his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, but no one was giving him anything. But when he came to his senses, oh, thank God. Have you ever had God just knock you to your senses? Maybe today you've had you've got that bulldog mentality and you've had yourself going in this direction and God's just going to slap you to your senses and go, you know what? Okay, God, I get it. Yep. He got up. He said to himself, I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you. And in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and he came to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. What does God feel for you when you get off track? Compassion. He's waiting for you to embrace you and kiss you. Hallelujah. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Are you seeing this? Are you catching this? But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let's eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field when he came and he approached the house and he heard music and dancing and he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out begging and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you and have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you've never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed a fatted calf for him and said to him, 'Son, you have always been with me, and all that I have, all that is mine is yours.' But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. He was lost and has been found." I love that story. There's so much in there, and I want to dig some of that out for you today. I want you to first of all understand that the prodigal son at first received by grace. He had an inheritance that he accepted so readily that he almost had an arrogance about him. Like, "That's mine. Give it to me now." I saw a video this morning that was so cute. It was a couple of grown kids who were probably in their 20s, and the caption said, "Me and my sibling going to our favorite grocery store," and they walked in their parents' home and proceeded to take anything they wanted out of their parents' home, right? How many of you know what that's like, right? And it's awesome, and it's really true, and it's kind of like the prodigal son was like, "Okay, I know it's not time for me to get my inheritance, but it's mine, so just give it to me now," right? So he received it by grace in the first place. He wasn't afraid of getting something from his father, but then he went out into the world, and he blew it, and then he started keeping score. He started measuring himself. Can I tell you a little secret? Get this. Pay attention. The farther you get from your father, the more likely you're going to keep score. As long as you're not close to your father, you'll start measuring yourself the way the world does. He went out into the world and he thought he was going to take his that God had given him and he was going to do all these amazing things. Well, he messed up and then he started keeping in score, his score. And what did his score turn out to be? D minus? No, F. Is there worse than an F? What's after F? G-H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O, whatever it is. He failed miserably if you're going to keep score. So he decided to return to his father. And what did he bring with him to his father? He brought his scorecard, and that's what he was going to present to his father. He was going to admit that he had messed up, and so he starts his little speech. He says, "Father, I've sinned, and look at the scorecard. I've messed up, and I've blown everything, and I can't take care of myself, and this is what I'm going to do. I have a proposition for you, Father. I'll just become one of your hired servants. I'll live where they live. I'll eat what they eat. I'll do the work that they do, and I know I'm not worthy to be called your son." And what did the father do? I love this. He just ignored him. He didn't even answer him. He just turned and said, "Hey, servants, bring me a fattened calf and kill it and get it ready. And bring me a robe and a ring and sandals and put it on my son." You see, the father was giving grace while the son was keeping score. Oh, I hope you get that today. He returned to his father, and his father gave him, listen to this, even though he didn't earn it and he didn't deserve it. In fact, he was probably the last person to earn it. I'm sure there were servants who were faithful. I'm sure there were servants who were hardworking, who had been there. There was a brother who had never neglected to do what the father told him to do. And he even told the father that. There was all these other people who it seems like at least earned it more than the prodigal son. And yet, what did the father do? He gave him a robe. He gave him a ring. He gave him sandals. He killed a fatted calf. Let me tell you what that means. What he was saying by surrounding his son with all this stuff, he was saying, "This is not a hired servant. This is my son." Hallelujah. And by grace, he gave his son position. He said, "No, you're not living there. You're living with me. You're living in my house because you're my son." He gave him provision. "You don't have to worry about what you eat anymore. There are no pods from the pigs going to be on your menu. We're going to eat good food." He gave him protection. He gave him authority. He gave him promise that you could be with me because you're not a hired servant. You're my son. Now, why is this important to us? It's important to us because we're living in the covenant that Jesus brought, the new covenant. And it's not based on what you earn. It's based on what Jesus has earned for us. Amen. And I'm here to tell you today, you don't just walk into that covenant by grace. You live in it by grace. You didn't earn it when he saved you, and you don't earn it today. You're not worthy of it when he saved you, and we're not worthy of it today. Oh, but because of Jesus, we receive it. You see, in the old covenant, it was based on what you earned and how you behaved and what you did. But in this covenant, we're called children of God. What a marvelous and amazing thing. Can I tell you that the greatest of angels, Michael, Gabriel, you can name their names. However high up they go, they are not called the children of God. But you and I are called the children of God. Isn't that amazing? We've been birthed into the family, not hired. Amen. There was a man who, when he was 16 years old, he started working at a factory. Excuse me. And when he turned 18, he went full time there. And he loved working there. And he saw advancement in the factory. And so he poured his life into working at this factory. He started moving up the ladder. And about 10 years in, the owner of the factory's little 6-year-old son started hanging around the building a lot. And he was kind of a nuisance, but kind of cute. And eventually, as the years went by, this employee kept going up the ladder. But when the young owner's son reached a certain age, he started working there part-time. And he would work in different things. And when he was 18, the owner of the factory promoted him and put him up in the office above this employee that by now had been there for decades. He'd worked hard. He worked harder than that boss's son. He was better at what he did than that boss's son. He knew more about what was going on than the boss's son. And yet here he is now working underneath the boss's son. You may have been in a situation like that yourself, and you're one of these employees, and you're thinking, that sniveling little kid, you know, I've been here longer, and I've earned more, and I've done more, and I'm smarter. I work harder. I know more about what's going on in this place, and that all may be true, but let me tell you, none of that matters. Let me tell you why that doesn't matter. It may not seem fair to the employee, but it's fair to the owner, because the owner says, this is mine, and I will do with it what I want to do with it. And it is natural for the father to want to give to his son. Come on, are you hearing me today? Now I'm trying to get this into your brain. The way you receive from God is to have the mindset that even though there are other people around you who might work harder, be smarter, more educated, been around longer than you, when God wants to give it to you, you've got to just accept it. Just receive it from the Lord today. Now, if you're the son of this factory owner, you may have a dilemma. Now, there may be you may have the attitude that, like, of course it's mine. Yeah, it's mine. Well, and the attitude of arrogance is not us the way we should really have an attitude towards the child of towards God, right? As children of God, we shouldn't look at God and say, you know what? I earned this. I deserve this. This is mine. That pride is really the attitude of Satan, and that's what got Satan in a mess, right? And so it's not that we're so proud we think we've earned what God has done for us. And the son also could have had the attitude of, well, I don't deserve this, so I'm not going to take it. He could have said, you know what, I'm just going to work at the bottom, Father, and I'll just let someone else take over. He could have decided that he didn't deserve it and not received it or walked in it. Sometimes I wonder about the prodigal son. And what happened to him after that day? Let's say he comes home and the father puts a robe and ring and sandals on him and they have a party and they all eat and they're full and it's late and it's about 1 a.m. after the party and he comes into his room where he used to live and he sees all of the stuff he used to have and he looks in the mirror and here he is wearing this robe and this ring and yet he's still got the scorecard in his mind, right? He's thinking, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this robe. I don't deserve this ring. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this job. I don't deserve this ministry. I don't deserve this blessing from the Lord. I don't deserve any of this. And you know, that's not necessarily a bad attitude to have, but the question is, are you going to accept it or not? Are you hearing me today? Did he take the robe off, take the sandals off, take the ring off, find his way to the servants' quarters and move right in? Or did he decide he was just going to accept it because that's what his father wanted today? I'm here to tell you, that's the mindset that you've got to have. God is giving you undeserved favor. You can't earn it. You can't do enough good things to get it. And you're not going to feel like you deserve it. You're not going to feel like you have earned it, but you've got to walk in it and accept it today. Now, that's what I want you to get today, is that you've got to have the attitude that if God wants me to have it, then I'm going to accept it. If God wants me to do it, I'm going to accept it. Amen. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you because I feel like there are some of you today that God is trying to elevate, but your attitude is keeping you down. Your attitude is stopping you from moving forward because you feel like you're not good enough yet. And maybe if you work harder, or maybe if you do more stuff, or maybe if you quit being so bad, maybe if you stop having bad days, maybe you'll earn it and deserve it. And you might look around and think to yourself, well, there are other people better than me who deserve this. But the Father is saying, I'm giving this to you. Just receive it. Just accept it. Philippians 4, 19 through 20, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. What does that say? It says, my God will supply it. Not you. My God will supply it. According to what? Your needs. And it's according to his riches and glory in Christ. And then the next one says, to God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's important because this whole thing, he's saying God's going to supply it according to what you need. And because he's the one who supplies it, he's the one who gets the glory. Amen. That's what grace is. Grace is God giving it to you, even though you don't deserve it, and us giving God the glory for it and just accepting it. Just receive it from him today. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 3. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's given us everything we need to live a godly life. It's already been placed inside of us, but we must what? Just accept it. Just by faith receive the promise of God. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 through 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. Are you noticing a pattern here in the New Testament? It's God making it happen. It's God supplying it. It's God getting it done. And it's God's people just receiving it by faith. Just accepting it and walking in it by faith. God makes you and I stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, my kids never got this, but some kids nowadays, they have parents who give them a little debit card. And, you know, they turn teenagers, 11, 12, 13 or whatever, and their parents will put a little money in their account, and then they have the little debit card where they can just go get something. They didn't earn the money, but it's there. They have access to it. And if they were out and they were hungry and they needed food and they didn't get anything to eat and they got home and told their father would say, I gave you a debit card. Why didn't you use it? I put money in the bank that I earned. Why didn't you use it? Can I tell you something? There's a lot of us today. God has deposited good things in our hearts, in our lives. Everything we need, in fact, to live the life he wants us to live. All we've got to do is accept it, access it by faith and walk in it. It's all we need. You see, what we have to do is, number one, recognize that it's God's grace. You didn't make the car payment by your own hard work. I know you think you did, maybe, but it's really God's grace that caused it to happen. Come on. You're not alive today. Every breath you breathe is because God has given it to you. Come on, amen. Come on, hallelujah, Jesus. Do you understand that today? Every good thing you experience is an undeserved blessing from the Lord. Hallelujah. It is God's grace that provides and gives to us because he loves us. And we must recognize it. Our mindset and approach is important. We must realize that we shouldn't be so arrogant that we think we've earned it. But we shouldn't be so humble that we won't receive it. We've got to accept it and walk in it. Ask and you shall receive, it says. says you don't have because you don't ask. That's what the Bible says. You know why some of us don't ask? Because the scorecard says we ain't earned it yet. We're too afraid. You know, some of you won't move into that new place because you don't think you belong in that neighborhood. Some of you won't ask about a raise because you don't think you deserve it. Some of you won't apply for a new job because you feel like that's for people with a college education or something. And you keep limiting yourself because you're afraid to accept something you haven't earned. But I'm going to tell you, the basis of everything God is ever going to give you or do to you is going to come, and you're going to have to understand you didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, and you can receive it if you just accept it. We don't live a paycheck kind of Christian life. We're not hired servants of God. We are children of God. Yes, as children, we serve God, and sometimes the New Testament calls us servants, but if you look in the story of the prodigal son, it doesn't say servant. He said, I'll be a hired servant. There's a difference between a hired servant and a son that serves his father. Come on. Are you hearing me today? We are children of God. We have to learn to just accept it. There are some people in the world today who aren't receiving from God because they carry guilt. They have comparison. They're thinking of their worth. And I wonder today, are you ready to throw the scorecard away and just receive it? Just accept what God wants to give you and wants to do in your life. What if there are people who are arriving in heaven today and God is saying to them, man, I wanted to do so much more for you. So much more in your life, but you wouldn't let me. You kept bringing me the scorecard, and you kept saying, Father, I've sinned, and I've failed, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not worthy of a robe or a ring or of anything good you give me. But I will be a hired servant if you'll just let me be a hired servant. If you'll just give me the bare minimum. If you'll just do the bare minimum in my life. And yet God is saying to them, man, I wanted to do so much more, but you brought the scorecard instead of just receiving what I had for you, just accepting it by faith. Hebrews 11:1, let me close with this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I want two words I want to stick out to you, confidence and assurance in that. Confidence, what are we confident in? We are confident in our Father and His promise. That when our Father says something, we can receive it by faith. Are you hearing me today? That when our Father has given us something, it's ours because He gave it to us, not because we deserved it or earned it. Hallelujah. Confidence in our Father and His promises. Now, I know there's some of us today who believe God will do what He says He will do. We believe God will heal. We believe God will bless. We believe God will provide. We believe God will open doors. We believe God will start a ministry through your life, do amazing things, but we just don't believe He can do that through us. Somebody else could receive that and walk in it, but I can't. Why do you feel that way? It's because you have the scorecard. You've been keeping track of how good or how bad you've been, and God never gives anybody anything based on the scorecard. Are you getting this today? Everything you will ever receive came by grace. Freely received, even though you didn't earn it and you don't deserve it. We have to have confidence, and we have to have assurance. Assurance that what we need is ours. God's not going to put you in a situation or position without giving you everything you need to accomplish that thing. Now, let me tell you, sometimes you think you need a certain thing, but you don't. And so you think, well, God, why aren't you giving me the money I need? Or why aren't you giving me the energy that I need? Can I tell you that there are some times in my life when I'm really tired and really worn out, and I come to church just wore out, and I think, God, if you'd give me energy, I could just do so much more. But, you know, that's the mindset that I don't need to have. I can do so much more. Did you hear me say that? I can do so much more. It's me wanting to put my hands on and do more stuff, and I really feel like God allows me to be tired because I'm better when I'm broken. I'm better when I'm not strong. I'm better when I'm not all there. I'm better when I have to rely on Him more. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Come on. Maybe the reason you're not receiving everything you think you need is because it's not what you really need. You see, God's going to give you what you need, and He knows what you need. We have assurance that when we swipe our Father's debit card, He's going to provide for us what we need. Hallelujah. Not what we want, but what we need. Are you hearing me today? You received salvation not because you earned it, but because God gave you a free gift. You receive healing not because you've earned it, but because God gave you a free gift. He provides for you not because you've earned it, but because He gave you a free gift. He protects you. He guides you. He takes care of you. Everything God will ever do in your life, you have not earned and you do not deserve. But you can say, I simply receive it today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a pastor, I am painfully aware of how I don't deserve to be up here, how I haven't earned the right to preach the Word of God. And I know some other ministers, especially young ones, who go in and out of the ministry. They're called, they're most likely called, but they go through these phases where they feel like they haven't earned it. They're not good enough, or they haven't done enough work, or they didn't go to Bible college or something. There's always this thing the devil's putting in your head saying you don't deserve the call God put on your life. And so I watch them sometimes as they go in and out of feeling good about themselves and then feeling bad about themselves. And maybe I'm called to the ministry and maybe I'm not. Can I tell you something today? It can be preaching or any other thing in your life. What God has called you to do isn't based on how good you are or what you've earned or what your education looks like. Come on, all that stuff is good and fine. Get an education, work hard, do all those things. That doesn't earn you what God wants to give you. And so a long time ago, that I'm here because God called me to be here. I settled that in my mind decades ago. And can I tell you something? I don't have a problem with that anymore. I don't go back and forth. I don't worry about it. I don't question my calling. I realize sometimes how unworthy I am. And then there are times when I feel like I'm doing pretty good and I'm okay. But let me tell you something. I don't deserve to preach the Word of God, but I had accepted it. I've received it. I just walk in and I accept it. It's God's will for my life. Can I tell you something? The world's going to tell you you're not good enough. You haven't worked hard enough. You didn't get enough education. Oh, you're not pretty enough. You're too skinny, or you're too big, or you're too tall, or you're the wrong color. You're born on the wrong side of the tracks. I don't care what the world says. When the Father says it's for you, just accept it. Amen. I'm telling you that because when people look at you, they may not see much, but God sees a whole lot. When people look at this church, they may not see much, but God sees a whole lot. Amen. I believe that God wants to do amazing things in your life, but we can limit God if we, like the prodigal son, if we decide to keep score instead of just accepting what the Father wants to give us. Throw the scorecard away. Some days when you realize you haven't been that good, some weeks like me, when you've had a week where you just hadn't been your best self, don't let that keep you from what God wants to do in your life today. Hallelujah. So I want to pray today. I want us to believe God for miracles, for wonderful things, not based upon our earning it or deserving it, but because our Father wants to give it to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I want us to pray right now. I want us to pray first for our community around us. Would you just stretch your hand in any direction as we begin to pray for this community? God, in Jesus' name, we're here today, Lord, because you have called us to be here. We know we haven't earned it. We don't deserve it, but we accept it. We walk in it. We live in it. We have confidence and assurance that what our Father has given us, we will receive and walk in. And by that authority, Lord, we just destroy the works of Satan in this community, in our city. We call forth the angels of ministry to go out into this world around us and to destroy the works of Satan. As we leave here today and we go into our own little worlds, God, Father, we will destroy hatred, division, anger, poverty, sickness by the power that has been put within us, the authority we've been given. We're going to destroy the works of the devil. And we loose the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ upon those who are lost, who are sick, who are depressed, who are hurting, who are frustrated. Lord, we just release your love to them. Let them receive and walk in your love today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And Father, we pray for those who are here today.